Hello, everybody, and welcome to our group coaching call here for the Platinum group at the Academy. Today is February 14th. Just time stamping this. If you are listening to the replay later, you know which call you're listening to. And as usual, I'm going to go ahead and get started with questions that were pre-submitted. This first one is from Jennifer. I'm going to jump right in. But before I do that, if you have any questions at any time, if you want to jump on the call, need feedback from me, want to talk through a situation, whatever, star 2 on your telephone keypad, star 2. Or if you happen to be on the call page inside the Academy, you can type in your question right there on that page, hit submit. I'll see it here, read it out loud, and address it, whatever you prefer. All right, so Jennifer can't be on the call today, so she gave me all the background. Let me just go ahead and read it all so you understand the context for when I answer her question and provide some advice. She says, I had a call with a prospect Friday, January 19th, to discuss a project. Based on that conversation, they wanted me to write a 2-page internal memo for distribution to their financial advisors. I would need to conduct some independent research and also talk to a representative within the organization to get some additional information. It sounded pretty straightforward. He said he wanted it as soon as possible. So after our call, I put together a fee agreement and emailed it to him. I heard nothing for a couple of days, so I followed up with him. He was at a conference and said he hadn't had time to look at the fee agreement yet. After some additional back and forth over email, he said he was thinking about outlining a more in-depth piece and wanted to set up another call. We had the second call on Monday, February 12th. So very recently this week. He said he had a document his sales guys had put together and was pretty good, and he wanted to incorporate some of that information into the piece I was writing. He also wanted me to talk to 2 representatives from his organization instead of 1, like we had discussed in our initial call. He wanted to increase what I was writing from 2 to 4 pages. Again, he supposedly needed it sooner than later. I updated the fee agreement and resent it to him. I woke up to an email the next morning saying the document his sales guys put together was longer than he remembered, and he wants to have another call to discuss. We now have a third call scheduled for Friday, February 16th. Excuse me. I have absolutely no idea what he's going to say this time. I feel like I'm on a runaway train and don't know how to get it back on the tracks. I definitely undercharged for the initial 2-page document he requested. But it wasn't the end of the world because it was a relatively small project. When he increased it to 4 pages, he expected the quote to double, which I agreed to do. I have no idea what he's going to want me to give him a quote for after a conversation on Friday, and I feel like I'm already set pricing expectations way too low because of the original quote I gave him. Is there any way I can renegotiate a potentially significantly higher fee since the scope is so different from what we originally discussed? And if so, how do I go about it? I'm sure he's thinking 2 pages is X dollars, then 4 pages must be 2X, and 6 pages must be 3X, even though it doesn't necessarily work that way, especially now that the scope is so different from what he originally discussed. Help. All right. Jennifer, you're not alone. Don't feel bad. These situations happen. And I, of course, I know a little bit about your background, right? And I know where you are right now in your business, where I have a good idea since you went through one of my coaching programs recently. So the advice I'm going to provide for you is based on where you are right now, because this advice could vary, but I'm going to try to make this useful for anybody else who's also listening. And I got a few pieces of advice. The first is you live and learn. You know, this happens. Don't feel bad. I see where you're coming from. I sense that, you know, you're frustrated. And, you know, it's like all this work to get this prospect and look at, you know, look what it's turned to. And we're still not there yet. And he says he's in a hurry, but it keeps changing the scope. And what a mess. It happens. You live and learn. It just, even once you're at a much higher level, you get better at screening out these prospects, but it still happens, you know. So just know that this is part of getting a business going, and it's part of the process. Looking back, you know, when I went through a lot of this with a lot of different prospects, it was kind of a blessing in disguise because it gave me a lot of great learning experiences early on, and that's what you want. You're learning a ton in working with these challenging situations. This is the stuff that sticks. You know, you could read about this, I could train you on it, I could teach you, I could do a podcast, but until you go through it, it's not going to stick. So try as best as you can to look at this as, you know what, this is a learning experience. Now, I also say that this probably is not going to be a good long-term client for you. I'd willing to bet that if you do land this project and he finally gets going with it, this will probably be a one project client. I mean, it might be a surprise. Stranger things have happened. So you need to that's kind of the context you need to go into the situation with. Just understanding that, look, where is this going? You know, what are my expectations? It's probably going to be a one. You already, you know, engage with him. Let's just see where we can go with it. But just knowing that this is not somebody you're going to be married to forever, okay? When you're starting out in your freelance business, there's a philosophy that I preach, which is can be translated into just say yes to everything. When you're starting out, you should say yes to everything, metaphorically speaking, of course. You should be much more flexible, much more willing to work with these kind of clowns than you should as you progress. It's just, you know, it gives you more learning experiences, it gives you more opportunities to make things happen. It's like more lottery tickets, essentially. When you get out there and you throw spaghetti at the wall and you're just trying a bunch of things and you're talking with a lot of people and you say yes to everything, you're buying more lottery tickets. Because what will happen is eventually that will lead to something else that's much, much better. And then that will lead to something that, you know, you could have never imagined. And that, unfortunately, is the path to so much of success, is kind of slogging through this muddy terrain to get to the promised land. Now, having said that, this idea of say yes to everything, your decision as to what to do here depends on what you want. So if you subscribe to this idea of, yes, Ed, I get it, I don't like it, but I agree with you, I need to just, you know, do whatever it takes. I'm not trying to optimize here in my business. Right now I'm just trying to get things going, get some activity going. Then if that's the case, then I would just keep going with this and not necessarily try to say, well, listen, I know, let's just throw some numbers because it's easy. I know I quoted you $500 for the two pages. Now you want six. It's not going to be $1,500. It's going to be, you know, $2,500. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I would just keep this proportional rate as long as something is not completely, you know, out in left field. Assuming it's just really more proportionally more content, then I think that's fine. The reason being that I suspect that if you try to now increase significantly, it's just not going to click with him. And here's why. You should actually take the opposite approach. The shorter the piece, the more it should be per page. The reason being, there's a fixed cost associated with just onboarding the client and the project and just getting the project started. And these are things you have to do whether the piece is two pages or six pages. So you're trying to recover those fixed costs, if you will, and you only have two pages to work with, to allocate these fixed costs to. So it is actually should be the other way around. The two pages should be the most expensive. As you add additional pages, incrementally, those could drop as you add more and more pages. Because you're already in it, right? Your head's already in the project. You're just adding a little bit more. So if you say, oh, well, two is 500 and three is 3,000, that just doesn't jive. And people can kind of intuitively understand that it shouldn't work that way. So if you So anyway, so that's option A. It's just keep going with it. Let's see where you can take it. Use it as a learning experience. Option B is if you don't really care, like you're either fed up with this guy or you get where I'm coming from, but, you know, you want to move on for some reason, or you got something else in the hopper that's either just popped, another client, you don't really need the money, the stress is not worth it, whatever, then what I would do is that I would try to go quote a higher fee now that's disproportionate, unlike the first scenario. In terms of how to justify it, I guess there are a couple of ways. There's not too many things you could use, but one idea would be to explain that the complexity and the scope, the combination of those two things, increased complexity and scope, has changed the pricing model that you're using. And, you know, it just – I think you could probably make a case for that based on what you've shared with me here. So there's that. And then one thing that may happen is, you know, it may not feel entirely right, but he might feel that he's too far into this with you to suddenly stop and try to find somebody else. I suspect that, you know, it's been now a month since he first engaged with you. He needed it as soon as possible. This keeps changing. Now he's really in a time crunch. So I'm not saying hold him hostage, but, you know, if option B sounds better for you, then you could figure out a way to justify it based on the combination of complexity and scope and just hope that, hey, you'll see that he's looking at his sunk cost in this opportunity, in this project, and realize, you know, I can't start from scratch, whatever, that's fine. Just as long as you can, you know, you want to make sure it doesn't come across as, you know what, I'm tired of you, the price has just doubled, right? You don't want to do that. So, yeah, I guess the right answer depends on a couple of things. One, where are you in your business? The earlier you are in your business, the more flexible you should be, the more you say yes to things. The further in your business you are, the more selective you should be, the more you should be willing to walk away and act more boldly and say no. So there's that. And then the second thing is, related to it, what do you want out of this specific situation? Do you want to go ahead and just try to take it all the way to the finish line? Or do you just not care, which is fine, no judgment there. And then if you don't care, it's a great opportunity to experiment, right? Because there's no risk or real risk. The worst that could happen is he'll say no. Many times some amazing things happen when you're in a situation where you don't necessarily need the work and it's an opportunity to try new things, right? Some of the things that I teach you guys, some of the best times to apply them is when, you know what, if I land this client, great. If I don't, it doesn't really matter to me. That's a time to raise your fees, try new approaches, and so on and so forth. So I hope that helps, Jennifer. I'd love to see how this turned out, so keep us posted, and good luck, whatever that might mean in this situation. All right, so again, star two, there are a few of you on the line. If you have a question or want to talk through any situation you might be facing right now, I am open. You know, while I'm waiting, Julie had also asked, and she didn't really so let me just kind of summarize her question. She's looking to create a lead magnet, and she's debating. She wanted to know if an ebook or report format might still be a viable approach. She understands that, you know, I'm really a proponent of something shorter, but she wanted to know. She's got a kind of a complex topic, and she wanted to know if a report would be viable. So let me just kind of address that, because this does come up. And it's not that that a report or an ebook is not going to work. It's just that two things. First of all, it might feel like too much work for a prospect to consume, therefore they're not going to download it. Or two, it's going to feel like too much work for you to create, so therefore you're never going to create it. So I'm a huge proponent for both of those reasons in creating simpler lead magnets, checklists, cheat sheets, process maps, swipe files, list of ideas, you know, 23 article starters, for instance, or 15 excellent white paper titles, whatever. Those things, from a prospect standpoint, they feel easy to consume, they sound interesting, and they're easy for you to put together. So when you look at that, that's a perfect storm, right? You have something that you know you'll go ahead and create, and a prospect will more than likely download, as opposed to someone who might look at it and go, wow, I don't know if I really have time to read a report. So that's the best of both worlds. However, there are situations where maybe a report could work a little better. If you feel strongly about it, not that it would work better, but it could work. If you feel strongly about it, I say go for it, as long as, again, you don't think this is going to slow you down. I still say that you can take something that you're originally thinking about as a report and splinter that off into a much shorter lead magnet or several different lead magnets. So I would still consider that before you go further. And then, you know, you could take the content you were thinking about for the report and just instead of doing one report, turn that into five different blog posts instead. So, you know, it could be a series. They could be related. They could be separate. But I'd rather see you do that than to try to tackle something that, if you're like me, I'm very optimistic, and I say, oh, that won't take long. And once I'm in it, I realize, oh, man, this is a lot of work. But now I'm committed, so I have to see it through to the end. And it took three times longer than I thought it would. So I don't want that for you, Julie. All right. So, again, star two. We have an open floor right now if you want to ask any questions. I'll do one last call just in case. I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. All right. I don't see any other raised hands. No worries. Hopefully this was helpful. I know some of you have chimed in saying that, you know, you love to come in to listen to some of the other questions because most of the time they apply to you. So totally fair. And we will wrap up today. We'll post the replay tomorrow, send you an email when that's up. And we will see you at the next call. Just a heads up, our next monthly call, let's see, I think we just scheduled it for Thursday, March 15th. Thursday, March 15th, 3 o'clock Eastern time. So hope to see you there, and we'll continue the conversation in the forum. Take care, everybody.